You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hand.
I'll look up the Hemlock spell. And let's say it's a dot that lasts for 10 seconds. The
34 accurate.
And Hotbox.
You can actually feel the tip.
Just the tip?
Greetings and welcome to episode 82 of The Training Dummies, recorded on February 12th, 2015. My name is Daryl and I main a shaman and co-main a warlock. With me this evening, as always, is my bro host with the most, Rob, who is currently maining a monk brewmaster.
Do you know which spec it is?
I do. It took me a second. It took me a second. What's that called? With us this evening, to talk all about Blood Death Knights is Epic Insanity from the Frozen Nerds and, hold on, I got this, Ebon Knights podcast?
Knights of Ebon.
Oh, Knights of Ebon. I was close. Close. Yeah, the right close. Word. All right. Give it to you. Welcome, Epic. To you.
Thank you. Feels good to be back. It's been a while.
I know, we're like a dirty sock. Like it fits. It fits your foot already.
Right. Wow. I don't get where that was going, but okay.
Probably could have thought that went out a little better. But, right. It works. Hey, we have these interview questions that we probably asked you before. But for people who haven't met you or and aren't familiar with you, why don't you maybe share a little bit about what got you into the game and what you're currently maining and working on?
Well, I got into the game, I would say, I think it's back in early 2006. So I've been around for way too long. Got into the game because my college roommate got sick of me playing Counter-Strike Source all the time and told me to try a different type of game. So he actually bought me World of Warcraft and gave it to me and told me to play it. He forgot to tell me that there was a monthly subscription fee. So then after the first month, I was like, why can't I play this anymore? He's like, you gotta pay. I was like, well, that's pretty dumb. So then I got a job so I could pay for it. And I've been paying monthly subscription costs every month, one month at a time, because I can walk away when I want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell yourself that.
I don't think I've ever had it lapse is the unfortunate thing, so I should probably switch it to like yearly payments just to save myself a ton of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did monthly for years. I think I finally switched to the 6 month when they did the annual pass, but before that, yeah, it was always the month to month.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know why. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, it's just a reoccurring bill. It's just a reoccurring bill.
Easy to budget. There you go. Yeah.
I actually used it once for a reference for, I think, a credit check.
Oh, nice.
They needed like a monthly bill, and that's I had nothing on me. And I just like, I pulled out my authenticator or my Battle.net app, and I showed them every month that I paid on time every month.
That's
They're
awesome.
Like, oh, okay. So whatever works for me.
Right on.
It's freaking awesome.
All right.
Warcraft is good for your life.
It is.
But what about garrisons? Are they good for your life? Do you love them or hate them?
It's kind of a love-hate relationship, honestly.
Love to hate them. I get it.
In the beginning, I loved them because it was new. It was fresh. It was so much fun to level stuff up, and it becomes that addiction to like have to have level 3 everything. Like, got to get all the awesome stuff, and then it just became so mandatory. It's not optional, I don't feel like, at all. Like, you can avoid it for a while, but ultimately, if you want like an edge in PvE content, you pretty much have to have it at this point. So it just kind of, I don't know. It was cool when they felt optional. Now it just feels like a daily hub. We're mandatory quests again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mandatory, optional.
I would say they're pretty much mandatory, but yeah, it's like it sucks because I went away from daily quests, which I liked, because then like every day I logged on, and I knew that I had 5 quests to do. Now it's like, oh crap, I need to go capture a ton of boar. Now I have to go out in the world and capture a bunch of boar and fight everybody else that's capturing a bunch of boar to bring them back to my barn. It's like, why can't I just, like, capture things in a huge pen somewhere and I just go pick them up and deliver them later? So,
can't you breed boar in your garrison?
I'm okay with it. I don't know if everyone else would want to.
And you'd end up with bacon and mounts, right?
Bacon. Boo bacon.
We won't go there. Did you delete these other really important questions that we had out of here?
I did, because they weren't that important.
Well, shoot. Executive decision.
Yeah.
So what's your most fond memory in or because of Warcraft?
I thought about this one, and unfortunately I don't really... There's so many, you know, like... Killing a boss with your raid team for the first time, you know, completing that first challenge mode, getting that killing blow in a battleground. Like, there's just, I've been playing for so long. Like, I have a lot of fun. Like, even just this week, getting a new boss kill down in Blackrock Foundry, you know, we still, like, we're cheering. Boss kill and the mumble erupts. It's like, okay, you know, it never gets old. Like, that's why I keep playing this game. Yeah,
totally.
Stuff like that. It's all about the people I'm with. Like, if I'm not enjoying the people on my raid team, then I probably shouldn't be on my raid team. Usually what happens is the people that don't enjoy being on my raid team or I don't enjoy them being around me leave because we force them out eventually. So
I don't know. Somehow everybody on our team keeps coming back. So
I know.
Yeah, I'm still shocked.
Not sure.
People come back to my team.
Me calling people names during raid and stuff. Somehow they just keep coming back.
Bonus armor is not for shaman. Pro tip.
It's not?
Pro tip.
Well, it depends on the shaman. Huh?
And he's still going to keep coming back. All right. So... we've gotten rid of the worst question in podcasting, so what we're going to fill it with tonight is something a million times better. And because we've missed Kim so much, we're going to put her right at the beginning of the show. So here it is.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Crowd Control. The other week I asked you guys on Twitter if you had any questions about PvP, and you did not disappoint, you sent me loads. But I have a few here that I'm going to answer for you right now, so let's dive in. So our first question comes from Constrax1 on Twitter, and he asks, what is your favourite way to spend honour once you've outgeared that currency? Do you disenchant gear? Once I've got any geared off specs and alt sorted, then yeah, I tend to buy honour gear and disenchant it in my garrison. Occasionally though, I do like to spend it on items for transmog. There's various different honour vendors throughout Azeroth selling different seasons gear, and it's very cheap, so depending on which season you purchase, it could be as little as 150 honour. So yeah, that's one of the ways I like to spend it. So our next question is from John47281. I heard you mention latency when you were on the Girls Gone WoW podcast. My internet isn't great. I get 150 ms. Is this why I never win? That's a really good question. You might have read recently on Twitter that I reactivated my EU account, and this is why. When playing on the US, I usually had around 150 to 250 ms, and That's a lot. On EU, I get about 30 to 50. So latency is basically the delay between you pressing the button and the spell actually going off in-game. So, for example, if I'm in the arena and I see a druid cast in Cyclone, that's cast time of 1.7 seconds, and my latency being what it was meant by the time the kit goes off, he's already cast it in my face. There are ways to compensate for it in game settings, and you do adjust it over time, but you can see the problem that it presents in PvP. Unless, of course, you can see the future, in which case, please can you be on my team? There is, of course, the disclaimer to go with this. You can't always blame your latency for losing in PvP. We've all done it. I have done it, I'm sure. So, yeah, don't go blaming latency all the time. Okay, the next question is from UtensilDude44. Is there any benefit to having two PvP trinkets on, or should I use higher stat PvE ones? Yes, when you equip your two PvP trinkets, you'll notice a set bonus called Gladiator's Distinction, and it's a two-piece set bonus. You take 10% less damage from other players, so that's huge, and I would always take PvP items where it's available, and from the looks of how gear overall is shaping up, I'd say that PvP gear will undoubtedly be the best choice for PvP towards the end of the season. So our last question is from HighRoller986. Should I get set bonus gear or stick with the stuff without? Without knowing which class or spec you play, I can't really answer that. There are pros and cons to both sets of gears. What I would suggest is that you look at your own stats, then take a look at what needs to improve and go from there. There's no set rules on which gear you should use, so keep in mind that you're not required to have all the items available to you to gain the set bonus as well. So there's some wiggle room if you do need to boost some of your stats with gear. That's all the time I have for this week, but next week I'll have an Azran guide, so if you haven't been already henned, it's the perfect way to get started. All my other PvP guides and macros and gearing etc. can be found at crowdcontrolpvp.com, and please send me more questions because you guys come up with great ones, and you can catch me on Twitter at Kim with a Y Scally. Thanks everyone for listening, and I hope you have an epic week.
This is your friendly neighborhood warlock Fate, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Hend and Rob.
All right.
Dude, you got called out.
I did get called out.
Bam. That's awesome.
Well, Kim's just going to have to handhold me to get me into Ashran, I think. And
I don't know. Do you have an extra 6 hours you're not doing anything with? You could
exactly
just wait it out.
Right. All right. Enough PvP. Let's get on to Blood Death Knights. I'm not going to have much to contribute on this, as I still think my highest level Death Knight is, what do they start at, 55? So I think it's probably
56.
No, I think it's 58. I've completed the starting zone. I know that.
Oh, shoot.
I know. I'm out of the starting zone, and I think I might have done a couple quests I've even moved to Hellfire. I know that much. So I could even be 60.
That's
so anyway,
just a whole new level.
I know. So anyway,
literally.
So I'm clearly not here to talk about blood decays, but that's why Epic's here. So Epic, if I was to level this up to become a blood decay, what stats should I go for?
I'll have lots of questions for you too. I kind of know a little bit.
So biggest thing is with the changes in gear. For those that aren't tanks or don't tank or shaman who think they should use this, bonus armor is our number one stat.
Wait, hold on. Let's just boil that down here. One sec. Bonus armor is for who?
It's for anybody who thinks they can use it, but ultimately it's for the tanks. It's kind of like bonus armor is kind of like hunter gear of old, like. Anybody can use it. Just helps you out.
But it only benefits tanks, huh?
Really?
Well,
avoidance is a stat that you can randomly get on gear that benefits everybody, because it actually helps mitigate damage overall. Mm-hmm. But bonus armor really, it probably does benefit people who could use it, but I'm guessing it probably doesn't really do much for you.
Well, thanks for clearing that up for me.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's what I'm here for.
That was bad.
But the problem with Death Knights right now is the fact that we can actually play two different types of playstyles. You guys, if you listen to episode 50 of the Training Dummies, me and Seraphis from the Sundering were on there way back in the day, and we talked about Death Knights. Back then, me and Seraphis played two completely different styles of Death Knight tanks, and once again, even though there are no reforging, there's still two completely different styles of Death Knight tanking. So today, I'm going to talk about both of them.
Nice. Is that still viable to play multiple different styles of DK tanking this early on?
It's only viable if you have the gear to do it. That's the catch. Just like it was in Siege of Ugamore. Siege of Ugamore, I ran a crit build.
Mm-hmm.
It was parry crit. I play a lot of haste, even though haste is one of the worst stats for Death Knights. I play with a lot of haste. I like the fast play style. But after doing all this research and looking at logs and stuff last night, I realized that haste is probably not a good one to have right now.
Well, we have less choice than ever, really, right now.
Yeah. It's just the problem is I like the fast play style that I got so used to inside of Siege of Ugamore, and I can't play that anymore. So I've been forced into the new play styles. But I do play the damage-oriented play style and not the survival-oriented play style. Because I like to put out DPS and threat. But the biggest thing I guess I should be talking about is survival. As a tank, your main role is to live, not die. One time, a long time ago, somebody told me that a dead DPS does no DPS, so it still applies to tanks. If you die, you're not doing any DPS, so you need to survive the hits that you're taking from the bosses and the adds. So the biggest thing to remember, for no matter what spec of Death Knight, Blood Death Knight tank that you're playing, bonus armor is king, followed by strength. Which is weird. Not everybody thinks strength is good, but strength is very good. If you can't... So, for example, trinkets with stam on it, not necessarily the greatest thing to have.
Oh, really?
Trinkets with strength on it, they benefit you more because it's bonus armor, attack power, and everything else. So it's actually better for you.
Hmm. Isn't that's probably the case with most tanks right now, you think?
I'm not sure.
I know for monks right now, stam is okay, but it's certainly not something that, you know, like you're saying, in terms of a trinket or something, that's not really what you want.
The biggest thing with stam is you got to be able to take the hit, so you need to have that effective health. So you need to be able to withstand a 250k white strike from a boss. I know Mythic Raiders are getting literally white hit from bosses for 500k. So if your tank doesn't have 500k,
that's one shot.
Yeah. Oh, they're like last night. I was getting one shot on trash mobs inside of Blackrock.
Are you guys on Mythic?
We're just on Heroic. So the catch is the trash almost hits harder than the bosses do, which is crazy. But so you're going to see white strikes that are doing ridiculous amounts of damage. So the tank does need to have enough health to survive one of those without a cooldown, because you're not always going to have a cooldown available. So I don't know what it is for monks if you still want agility over stam, but you still need to have enough stam to not die.
Right.
So...
Yeah, there's definitely a couple of builds you can do with the monk, basically the DPS or the survivability builds. But yeah, I'm guessing it sounds like a lot of tanks are kind of at that crossroads. And moving into the second raid of this tier, now that we're going to start seeing set bonuses and better gear, it's probably going to be a lot more viable to explore some other gearing options, huh?
Yeah, and that's kind of how, that's where I'm at right now. Last night I just broke, I think, a 670 item level.
Oh, nice.
So you kind of get to that point where you're getting a ton of mastery, which is our other big thing after strength, is that mastery for no matter which spec you're playing for the most part. Mastery is what keeps you alive. It's your absorption shells through your blood shields. So you want to use that. But that's when it kind of gets a little wonky. You can either go multi-strike, which is that double tap. It does 30% more, or 30% more damage, 30% more healing. So it's good for blood DKs. But depending on the style you play, If you're playing survival, you want to go mastery haste. If you're playing DPS, you can go mastery multi-strike.
That's so weird, because you think the multi-strike actually gives back to your healing that it would be more.
Yeah, haste makes your runes pop faster, mm-hmm. so you're getting more death strikes, so you're getting more blood shields built up, because it's everything's happening quicker. But multi-strike, because it's that double tap, it's hitting twice.
Mm. Okay,
so it's so kind of nice.
So the haste is more consistent with survivability then?
Yep, and I play haste. Mastery and mastery haste. The problem is right now, up until last night, my haste was almost more than my mastery. So I was having problems. I still live. I'm still really hard to kill. But if I miss a death strike, I'm dead. Like, one shot. No questions asked. So it's that fine line. So I switched and added 5% multi-strike last night and took away about 5% haste. And now I hit harder. I hit for more. I'm doing about 30k DPS now. So that's exciting.
That's outstanding, dude.
Yeah.
But geez. It's all playstyle. So it's... I have... And thankfully, none of my healers are in the chat room.
Are you going to make stuff up?
No.
You don't want to get called out?
I really have a lot of faith.
I carried the raid.
Oh, no, definitely not. I was looking through logs, and I'm always, like, 13th percentile. I'm on the bottom of everything for damage done, healing done, like, up bottom of all the death knights right now. So that's why I wanted to make a change and see if I could improve. But I have a ton of faith in my healers. Like, my healing core, no matter who's on, is all strong. And they keep me alive. So if I could put faith in them to do their job, I can play around and do a little bit more DPS on my end. So it's what I do. I'm the raid leader, so I can do what I want.
Nice. Okay, enchants. Well, all right. Enchants.
With enchants, I know a lot of people... This is pretty much the only place you have wiggle room to play
yeah.
with enchants and gems, anyway. So what I would say, in the beginning, while you're progressing, go all mastery enchants. So mastery on your neck, cloak, and your rings. Once you get a little bit more mastery on your gear, then switch over to multi-strike. Just it helps you out. It really just depends on your playstyle, but I would say mastery for progression, damage for farm.
Is there a soft cap for mastery at the point we're at right now? Or
there wasn't even in Siege of Orgrimmar. Mastery changes have been ridiculous. We mm-hmm. used to go up to like 300% mastery, and now everyone's sitting around like 30%.
Oh yeah, I remember I was pushing like 220. It was where I was kind of comfortable at, but it's all, you know, with the vengeance and resolve and, you know, just all the changes. I am totally not up to speed on, you know, where it just hits a diminishing return on stuff like the secondary stats and everything.
Yeah, I think at this point in the game, there might be, if you're like fully mythic Warforged, you might be like flirting with some caps. A lot of it, like even in the beginning, so Death Knights have changed. Blood Death Knights have changed like 3 times since the expansion have come out. Before it was you wanted multi-strike all the time. Now it's like, oh, you don't really need that. You didn't want haste at all before. Now you do. Like, it's so confusing. So I don't think anyone really knows what the caps are going to be. But a lot of it is you got to just kind of adjust to your play style. That's the nice thing about Death Knight. For at least last expansion and this expansion so far, we have a lot of wiggle room. We can kind of do what we want. As long as you feel comfortable and you're not dying, you're doing your job. But the catch is you don't want to be spiky, though, either, which I'll get into way later in probably the advanced stuff. But for enchants, before I get too far off ranting, for enchants, just either multi-strike or mastery. Same thing with gems. Gems in the beginning, I would go Stam. It's going to be your best stat in the beginning. Once you get a little bit higher, you can probably swap out to Multi-Strike or Mastery, depending on which one you're looking at getting more of.
Cool.
But a big thing that Death Knights have the advantage of over any other class is the fact that we get free weapon enchants.
Yes.
That's such a hack.
That's freaking awesome.
I have not done a weapon enchant in four expansions now.
It's hacks.
But the catch is, we have all these ridiculous amounts of enchants that we get for free for our weapons, yet there is only one that matters anymore at all, and that is Fallen Crusader, which does the 3% heals and increases your total strength by 20% for 15 seconds. The reason I'm bringing that up is, out of all of them, strength is still king. 20% of your strength, your total strength, is huge for 15 seconds, and 3% heals. It may be nothing, but that's probably like a hot ticking on you. So that's still pretty good.
How often are you seeing that Fallen Crusader going off?
Well, it's funny you ask. It is just funny. Because I won't drive home the point of this, because in the DK community, a lot of people are complaining that there isn't a Death Knight tanking Runeforge. There is, but it's not good. It increases your Stam and your parry. It's not that great. You want something that's actually viable, which strength is huge right now. Just looking at my logs from last night, Heroic Gruul, it proc'd 26 times in 6 minutes. It was, I think, a 76% uptime throughout the entire fight. It's pretty damn good.
I wanted to look professional by setting you up there. But yeah,
I was like, yeah, Rob, you got this. That's why I put it in here, because I've been asked this question on Knights of Ebon, is my Death Knight podcast that I try to do. I've been kind of neglecting it. But
yes, you have.
It's hard to do a podcast when they keep changing everything. I keep begging for updated patch 6.1 notes, and they haven't updated it since the end of January. But they keep implementing new builds. It's you need to tell me what you're changing before I go and talk, because I talked about this, all this, a month and a half ago. It's all obsolete now. So I have to go back in and talk about it again. And again. And again. Because they're going to keep changing it.
I know. Everyone. And then people will literally just ask you the same questions. Whatever. It's fun.
So I'll just refer them to this for a week, and then I'll have to record a new one. So it'll change.
All right, well, let's get into the talents then.
Talents are... I tried to sum them up as quickly as I could, because talents are tricky. A lot of Death Knight talents for blood tanking are interchangeable. Some of them, it's really up to your playstyle. I'm going to give you kind of what the research says and what I know from experience. So people can kind of play around with it as much as they want. In Tier 1, Plague Bearer, it refreshes your diseases with your Death Coils. I would say that's great for progression because it helps out. You're not having to do anything extra. You're Death Coiling for threat anyway, runic power dumping. So it's great. Your diseases refresh automatically. Blood Boil does the same thing. So either way, whichever one you're using, it's kind of nice. It's not really the greatest thing you can do. Plague Leech is actually the best thing you possibly do. The reason for that is it takes your diseases and makes 2 death runes. Especially if you piggyback that with the Glyph of Outbreak, you have no time on it, and it just takes 30 runic power, which... once you start progressing, you're going to realize you have tons of runic power.
That's more of a juggling act, though, if you take the Plague Leech, right? Would you say that's more advanced, or would you say that's pretty, you should get the hang of this?
I would say it's more advanced.
I could never do it in Siege. It just felt so unnatural to me.
Yeah. It's weird for me, too. A lot of it is if you use Blood Boil at all, your diseases never go away.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not hitting that point where they're about to fall off, and then you leech them, and then you...
Yeah, because they're not, like, especially now that we only have... Deadlines only have one ability, well, two abilities that use blood runes. One is Blood Boil and Rune Tap. So you're kind of sitting there going, well, if I want to use those up, I should probably Blood Boil. So it's one of those things where you're refreshing them all the time. The biggest thing is that becomes part of your like advanced blood tanking with the death strikes, death strike timing. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is what you can do is you can take those diseases off, put them right back on with Outbreak, and then you can do a death strike. So you can kind of time it. Especially if you know that the boss is going to hit you really, really hard with a maneuver. For example, Heroic Gruul or regular Gruul hits you with Inferno Strike. Or Inferno Slice, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
But it hits the tank for, like, I think last night I got hit by it with nobody else on me for 3 million. The point of that move is stack your raid team in one spot, get everybody hit by it, and then spread back out. So the initial hit, even with everyone stacked, still probably hits for like 250k. So if you can get a blood shield up, so if you Plague Leech, Outbreak, Death Strike for 150k,
mm-hmm.
you're not taking that much damage. Well, granted, if you get 150k, you're doing really well, but the old playstyle, would have been like 150k plus. Now it's, if you're getting one for like 60k, you're doing extremely well. But I would say, yeah, that is the more advanced playstyle. And I know you're a big fan of the passive abilities.
Well, so. I mean, we're able to make the joke out of it because really, you know, yeah. passive gives you that comfort zone of being able to focus on some fundamentals. But yeah. if you're saying the Plague Leech is... it's more advanced, but it's something that you should learn and it should be fundamental, then, you know, then that's something people should consider if they're familiar with the runic system and all that, you know, and you're looking to take it to the next level. You're saying Plague Leech is where you should go, right?
Yep. I switched to Plague Barrier for progression content. So like last night we're working on, the Ogar. It's the train boss.
Okay.
So I don't have to pay attention to plague leeching, resetting, all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
I just switched to Plague Bearer and just Blood Boil spam. Because there's tons of adds, so you want to spread those diseases anyway. So I switch my playstyle based on the type of content we're doing. But then I switch to Plague Leech for Gruul, mm-hmm. because it's easy. It's just movement fight now.
Yeah, so, and if that's, like, patchwork, then you should be able to
yeah.
do the, you know, something slightly more advanced.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing is even, like, tier 4 talents for DKs we'll get into. But that's... there really is only one way to go, but if your playstyle... if that's too many buttons right now until you get comfortable with a fight, you can adjust. I know for me, for example, tier 2, I use Purgatory because it's passive. My big thing
yeah.
is
forget it.
You know, if I don't have to try to Lichborn heal myself or Lichborn leech,
mm-hmm.
I can just use Purgatory and then it just prevents me from dying. So, and it procs quite a bit because you'd be amazed on how many times you would have died.
Oh, it's great. Well, it is great, man. And Siege, that plus the cloak, man, you are just
yeah, oh yeah,
pretty hard to kill.
Even nowadays. Like, it, honestly, the one thing I didn't like about Siege is sometimes you get Purgatory to proc, sometimes you get the cloak, sometimes you wouldn't get anything. Still,
yeah.
It's like, wow, I have two of these, and I'm still dying. So thankfully now the cloak is gone, long gone. Mm-hmm. I don't have to deal with it anymore. But this one, actually, I love it. Like, it's just one of those things where I don't... it's not like the Pally Argent Defender where I have to... or I think it's called Argent Defender. I don't have to push the button. Just auto-procs.
Mm.
I don't have to think. It automatically saves my life.
Awesome. Nice.
So, that is huge.
one less button to push.
Cool. Well, I guess that covers tier 2 then as well. If that's just the easy go-to, huh?
Yeah, I'm not even going to cover the other ones because as a Blood DK, you should be using the easy one on that tier anyway.
Cool, right on.
There's some other tiers that are a little more difficult. Tier 3, biggest one you should use is Death's Advance. It's a passive 10% speed increase with a 30% for 6-second speed increase later on. This is great for moving the boss around the room. It's also great for getting out of poo quickly.
Ignatium and I always call it the ghetto sprint, but I think it's up often enough to where you can use it quite a bit.
Yep, it's got a 30-second cooldown,
so you can
use it quite often. So yeah, I use it all the time, especially on fights where I'm standing in poo all the time and have to constantly move. It's just built into my rotation to constantly be using it. In that tier, though, there's one thing that I tend to use, and it's Asphyxiate. Basically, you get to choke an ad. It stuns him in place and silences him for 6 seconds. It's great on fights where you actually have ads that can be silenced. Fortunately, I think all of Hymol, almost all the trash, you couldn't use this on. So it's kind of
like ads during raid encounters aren't usually susceptible to that. I noticed. Yeah.
Like you could use it a lot in Siege. Had a lot of opportunities to use it on like little ads just to stun them, but it doesn't seem to work in Hymol. I haven't done enough.
About Siege, like it's the good old days, man.
spent a year and a half of my life in there.
Yes. All right, tier 4, what do we got?
Tier 4 is the advanced tier. The reason I say this is the one that people should be using is Blood Tap. Basically, the way Blood Tap works is as you use Runic Power, you get a charge. Once you get 5 charges, it automatically refreshes a depleted rune into a death rune. It's not on the global cooldown, which is huge. It has no cost to use it. So it stacks up to 15, or stacks up to 12, but you can use it on 5, which is kind of weird. But you're never going to cap it for the most part. So basically what it does is you pop it twice, you get a death strike. So it's all about timing your death strikes. So you're stacking those blood shields. This gives you complete control over your runes regenerating versus the other options in Tier 4 that make it behind the scenes and not as reliable. This one is a little bit more difficult to use on progression. I tend to not use it once again on progression because it's, unless if you're used to using it, it's not always up when you need it to be. So I end up sitting there waiting for it to be up, and I end up taking huge hits. So on high movement fights, this is difficult to constantly remember to use it. So then I switch to the other ones. I think Runic Empowerment is the next one to use. But that's, once again, Tier 1, Tier 4 kind of go hand in hand as like advanced blood tanking. So Tier 5, once again, not too many choices. Death Pack, that's where it's at. The reason I say this is it's basically a Lay on Hands. So
nice.
It's only 50% health. It's nice.
But 50% of your health, that's huge if you just got smacked really hard. So, for example, Purgatory procs. Then you hit this, you just live through it. So healers don't have to try to do as much work. If you pop Vamp Blood, then pop this, it is a Lay on Hands. It gives you 75% of your health. It just tops you right off. So I use this almost on cooldown if I drop below 50% health every time. It's kind of sexy. Makes your healers not have to work as hard. It does absorb healing for the next 15 seconds, but yeah, not that big of a deal.
Well, it's only a certain percentage, right? Not all healing?
Yeah, it's only 25%, but it's the fact that at that point, if you dip that low and you pop this, your healers are probably all bombing you to top you back off.
Well, yeah, dude, that thing is, I mean, even, I don't even think it is now what it was in Pandaria.
And oh, it's no. still beast mode, seriously.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people, like, I know Death Siphon actually is getting buffed in 6-1. I still don't think it's worth it. Because it's using the same runes as your Blood Tap, or not your Blood Tap, as your Death Strike.
Oh. So
it's...
Yeah, what? No, thanks.
Yeah, it's and it's one more button to push. This is one button to instant heal myself to full.
Do you want a Death Strike, or do you want this other Death Strike?
Yeah, and that's kind of how I look at it, too.
Yeah. Like,
some fights, maybe, because you can use it at ranged. That's the only nice thing about Death Siphon.
You can coil, too, though. So.
Yeah, it just Death Siphon heals you, so that's you can heal on range. So if you have to back away from a boss, if you're like you're off-tanking, you can back off the boss.
And use back off.
But for the most part, just Death Coil, get your scent of blood up, Death Strike.
Winning.
Every time.
Right on.
Nice.
Tier 6, this is an optional tier. I say that because Gorfine's Grasp is huge for grabbing tons of adds, but if you're on a fight that doesn't have adds, then three of these are completely useless. I rarely use these talents in Tier 6. It's Gorfine's Grasp, Remorseless Winter, and Desecrated Ground.
I really got into Remorseless Winter because... I don't know. It felt like such control, and I think wasn't it if you did Remorseless Winter that Frost Mages would crit off of your off of being frozen because you had all the enemies frozen, so the Frost Mages could crit off of your whatever it was.
Yeah, I think it worked that way. I'm not sure if it still does.
I remember there was a problem for a while of Frost Mage just pulling threat because,
oh, nice.
The, you know, because Remorseless Winter, and then they would unload, you know, their orb or whatever. And
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I know, like, Remorseless Winter, for those that aren't familiar with it, it freezes all the enemies to the ground for 3 seconds, I think it is. But that's 3 seconds. It slows everybody around you, but then it eventually freezes them if they're not immune to it. I always say that that's great for fights with bosses that have adds, and the adds are all coming to you anyway, just freeze them all. It prevents you from taking damage, so for 3 seconds you're not going to get hit, which 3 seconds you can be healed up to full then, even if you're about to die. So that's 3 seconds of no damage, which is huge in a fight that's 3 minutes long. Gorfine's Grasp is nice if the adds are running all over the room. You can suck them all to one point. For example, for those that don't know this, you can actually target the ox statue and death grip everything to the ox statue. Because it doesn't have to go just to the Death Knight, it can go to whoever the Death Knight's targeting. So I can death grip all the adds to the other tank if I wanted to.
How about to the going Disc into, Priest?
It's kind of like
that. Could you do that?
Instead of pulling you. I wish.
Because that guy keeps on life gripping? Could you just send all the adds to him?
You know, we inside of Siege of Orgrimmar going into Nazgrim with all the spinners, the guys who spin and cleave at the end, I would get people killed every time. I would death grip them to our enhanced shaman and get him killed every time.
Hey, that's a good idea. So,
yeah,
it's fun. Like,
all right.
The problem is a lot of your bosses don't have adds that are even death grippable, so it's kind of pointless.
Ah.
So I would say for those in Heimal, I didn't use it, Remorseless Winter, but in those people doing Blackrock, Remorseless Winter is a must for trash. It's ridiculous. The trash hits harder than the bosses.
The Koreg adds? Are they...
Oh, those stupid!
Yeah, can you use that on those?
Ugh, yeah, F those guys.
I don't think so.
They love Dave, but the Ox statue. But they do. If people are, we're stuck on that right now. But if people are unloading at all, any sort of AOE, and those stupid adds are all over the place.
Oh, are you talking the Vileetils or whatever?
The little ghost elemental dudes.
Yeah, those things.
I use, if you drop Ox Statue in one of the silence puddles, mm-hmm. and then AoE Death Grip to Ox Statue, they'll go right to it.
Yeah, that Ox Statue is a better tank than I am, but...
Oh, yeah. Like, my off tank or my other tank, I wouldn't say he's an off tank because he's probably better than me. He's a monk also. So the monk DK is strong. I like it a lot.
So you gotta tell Salty that, man. He thinks, every time I pull threat off him, he thinks I'm taunting. I'm like, bro, I'm not taunting at all.
See, what's funny is, me and the other tank, I want to call him off tank, but he's really not.
Bro tank.
Yeah, bro tank, that's better. We're both exact same item level. Like, we're both sitting at 670 now. Mm-hmm. But my threat is just ridiculously high. But then there's fights like Orgorger, where mm-hmm. he can completely negate an entire ability mm-hmm. by using his defense cooldowns, and I can't. So, I have a lot of threat, and I do a lot of damage, but he can literally make it so he doesn't take any damage at all from an entire boss attack. And I have no way to prevent it, so...
Yeah, that's why there's two of you.
Exactly. Yeah. Unfortunately, I have to take one of them to the face, and then he has to take the other one to the face.
Hot.
It is hot.
All right. Tier 7.
Yes.
This is what I'm really interested in. My DK currently is not 100 yet, but I think there's a lot of difference of opinion here. What do you say about Tier 7?
So Tier 7 is one of those, it depends on what fight you're doing. The reason I say that, I'll break them down first, and then I'll explain kind of why.
Perfect.
Defile basically replaces Death and Decay. Instead of red ground, you have black ground effect that grows and does more damage as it grows. Breath of Cindergosa, you put it on a target for 6 seconds, it'll leave a mark on it, but it'll run as long as you have runic power up. But it also heals you for any damage you're taking that's magical. So that's huge, or spell damage. Necrotic Plague, it's basically one disease that never has to be refreshed. Or it can't be refreshed, I should say. It has to be refreshed all the time.
Keep stacking, or is that...
It stacks to, I think, 15, and then it won't stack any higher, and then you have to refresh it. But it refreshes off of any moves that give... that put up your diseases. So it refreshes on Blood Boil.
Then you're...
It'll go to 15 quick, and then it'll sit there and never refresh, and it'll fall off, and you have to keep reapplying it. Right now, Necrotic Plague is the worst one to go with.
Okay.
It doesn't do a whole lot. It does good damage when it's at 15 stacks,
uh-huh.
but it's never there long enough to matter, and then you have to constantly be reminding yourself to refresh your diseases. So it's kind of a pain in the butt.
So you basically have two choices then, huh?
Yeah, Necrotic Plague is great if you don't have Blood Runes up, because Necrotic Plague also spreads your diseases for free.
Mm-hmm.
It automatically starts jumping. It's great for PvP. If you Howling Blast an entire raid team of people in PvP, Necrotic Plague will spread to 40 people.
Beautiful.
In seconds. And it keeps spreading and keeps getting bigger as it goes. So in Ashran, it's a great time to put Necrotic Plague on somebody and just watch it spread. Just huge numbers there. So it's like an actual plague for a change. So
here's a question then. I don't want to jump ahead of you, but do you think then Defile would be better, not for only adds, but for progression then, if you have that damage reduction?
Yep, I would say with Defile, it has 10% less damage to you. So for progression, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So in a life now, 10% of 250k is 25k, so that's huge. That could be life or death. So it's great if the enemy is standing in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
If the enemy is moving, it's not great, because he's not going to be in it very long. So, but for progression... Defile is huge. Defile on... I'm blanking already on the bosses in Heimal because I've been done with them now.
Oh, Kargath. Yeah.
Listen to this guy. Jeez.
I'm burnt out with Imol.
Hey, I had a conversation on Twitter the other day where people were kind of lighting into me a little bit because I referred to Imol as older content. Now it's not current content. And they did not agree with me.
It's technically the same tier, but it's old content.
Hey, you know what? If it's been 2-3 months now and they've released a new raid, then Himal is old content, and I'm sticking to my guns on that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. That's like we try to remember or remind ourselves in our raid team that it's the same tier.
It's the same tier, but it's old content at this point.
It's not dropping the same item level stuff in both the zones, so really it is old content.
Yeah.
Per se. But Kargath does the impale on the first boss in Himal. Does a little impale. If you drop Death and Decay, that's 10% less damage you're going to take. Or drop Defile, it's 10% less damage you're going to take during the impale.
Uh-huh.
So that with Rune Tap, which gives you 40% damage reduction, now you're up to 50% plus normal mitigation. You may not take any damage at all from this boss. It's kind of OP.
Cool.
But on a fight that's got tons of magic damage, Breath of Cinder Ghosts is huge. So, for example, on a fight like Gruul, he's doing fire damage to the tanks. As long as you can keep your runic power capped, you can keep Breath of Cinder Ghosts up pretty much the entire time you're tanking the Inferno Slices. Probably about 45 seconds, so it's constantly healing you for 10% of the damage you're taking.
How hard is that to keep up your runic power with that? Because, I mean, you're obviously wanting to milk that for healing too, right?
Yeah, I have not actually done this on Gruul because the Defile, or Heroic Gruul, he hits so hard that I've been using Defile for that 10% damage reduction. Mm-hmm. But today I was doing some testing, and I discovered that I could keep it. By looking at logs, I'm seeing that world rank raiders are doing it on Mythic. They're keeping it up like 96% of the fight.
Oh, man.
So they're ridiculously OP. Looking at somebody at the same item level as me, they're keeping it up about 75% of the fight.
Yeah, but that's huge still.
Yeah.
That's probably, probably equates to more than a 10% reduction then.
Yeah, oh yeah. Like, because it's healing you. And it's a 2-minute cooldown is the catch. So you use it, and then it heals you for magic damage you're taking.
But so if you can keep it up for a minute and a half of that time, then...
Yep. Just got to give it some hen love and just make sure it stays
up. Yeah, we need to move on from this talent.
Hey, man, you said you had nothing to say.
Yeah, I know, but the way you guys keep talking about keeping it up here... Yeah. For a minute and a half, even. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
hen love, bro.
All right. Let's look at some glyphs.
All right. For glyphs, for major glyphs, there's not too much choice. If you're taking Plague Leech, you want to take Glyph of Outbreak. Just makes Outbreak free. It just costs 30 ring power, but it can be cast at any time. There's no cooldown on it. So Plague Leech, Outbreak. Reapplies them for 30 rank power. The other one that you want to check out is the Glyph of Regenerative Magic. The reason for this is if it doesn't soak the entire shell, it reduces the cooldown. So
how often does that happen, though?
That's the catch. Because it also gives you like runic power, it also increases your DPS. So it's kind of wonky because runic power is huge. I also want this up as much as possible. So if it does expire without fully consuming all the damage, you're going to get it quicker so you can use it faster. The reason I say that is you're not using runic power to cast. Well, if you're using runic power to cast it, which... in a DPS mindset is a bad thing. but it's the fact that you're going to be able to use it more often to absorb more often instead of just major strikes. You can use it on cooldown as more of a defensive style. This was bigger in Siege of Orgrimmar. It was huge when it first came out. But it's the way to go. It's the way of the future.
Cool.
The other two that you kind of have a choice with is Glyph of Icebound Fortitude and Glyph of Vampiric Blood. It's really just a playstyle choice. The one for Icebound Fortitude just makes it that you can use it more often. Just it lasts for shorter periods of time. Vamp Blood just removes the additional health you get, but it increases the healing by 10% on you. I use that one because I don't need more health at this point, but I need more healing. So the 10% additional healing for the duration is huge, especially if you're using self-heals on that too.
Mm-hmm.
The shield gets bigger. All that stuff gets bigger.
Cool.
So it's huge. It's all about the mastery for blood DKs. So anything that can buff your blood shield through that mastery, that's what you want to be doing. So.
Okay, what about Glyph of Dancing Rune Weapon?
Glyph of Dancing Rune Weapon.
Where'd you pull that out of, dude? Are you looking at salty?
I'm looking at nothing. I'm just asking a question. I'm trying to be involved in the episode here.
I awesome. Have to live.
It increases. It says increases threat regeneration by 100% while Dancing Rune Weapon is active.
But I think your rune weapon does less damage, but increases threat.
Yeah.
It reduces your damage by 25%, but increases your threat by 100%. Because I don't have threat issues, because I want to put out more damage. Damage is threat. 25% more damage, or losing 25% damage to get more threat. So this will go into advanced blood tanking. In the aspect of DPS increase. So you want that extra damage because you should be using that spell as an offensive ability. Dancing Rune Weapon should be an offensive, not a defensive ability. Even though it is a defensive ability, the reason I say this is at 35% when the boss drops to 35%, Death Knights can start using Soul Reaper, which uses a blood rune for blood Death Knights. If you use Dancing Rune Weapon, followed by Outbreak, you get 4 diseases on the target. Followed by Soul Reaper, 2 Soul Reapers on the target. That's double Soul Reapers. Back in Siege of Orgrimmar, it was not uncommon for me to see double Soul Reaper procs for 1.8 million.
That's insane.
So, Blood DK's topping healing charts and DPS charts because of Soul Reaper. It's ridiculous. Now, in the real world of Warlords of Draenor, you're not going to see those numbers, fact that it's proccing and you're getting double damage from it. So, the threat is, yeah, if you're having threat issues, I totally get it. Like, Ox Statue is too powerful. They need to nerf the crap out of
too
it. But they
strong.
Don't need to nerf it because it's so strong on my raid team, we need it. It's our third tank, and it does a better job than the other two tanks do. So we need the Ox Statue. But threat can be an issue in the beginning when gear is an issue. That's where you got to look at your secondary stats. It's hard because Heimal is a special raid. The reason I say that is most of the gear has crit on it that's plate. Heimal is dumb. Heimal is dumb because the only shoulder upgrade you can get in Heimal is off of Imperator, which is the last boss. There's 2 necklaces for plate. One is off of Breckenspore, and one is off of Imperator. The problem is the Imperator one's better. So in order to get the gear you need to upgrade on those 2 slots at least, you have to be killing Imperator, which is dumb. You shouldn't put all of the gear on the last boss.
Yeah, that's... Well, and for teams like ours that are super casual. We haven't even gotten to that point yet, so.
Yeah, but it's the fact that, like, anybody, even if you're full clearing, you shouldn't have to go kill Breckenspore because you possibly need that neck upgrade. You know, like, if there should be options. Like, you have options of which boss you can kill next, but you don't have any option for loot. Like, if I want loot, I have to be killing that last boss.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Imperator is the most specialist boss in the entire land. He is Garrosh 2.0
Ew.
On crack.
Don't say that.
I do not like it. I would rather go kill Garrosh over and over again than kill Imperator.
Really, man? Gee, I mean, this is like intro tier of Warlords. You would think that, you know, this is your gearing up tier. Your gelling tier. Your make you feel good about raiding tier.
It's great up until Imperator. Like, all the other fights you're learning to work as a team. You're learning not to stand in poo. You're learning to kill the right target as you go.
Taunt on cooldown.
Yeah, like, you get to him, and it's like, he's got four phases, and each phase, his ability is going to do something different. So, for tanks, phase one, he just teleport, or you have, phase one, you have to run away. Get a mark of chaos, got to run away. Phase two, he teleports you to the raid team, then you have to run away. The catch is, if you're not far enough away, you blow up and do, like, 600k damage to everybody around you. It's going to one-shot everybody. The next phase, he freezes you to the ground, and the raid has to move away from you. So it gets tricky.
Jeez, dude, I don't like
this. Phase four, you have to run away because when you blow up, you're going to launch huge orbs all around the room that are going to one-shot anybody that get hit by them. So it's and that's just one spell. He does four. And each phase, they change what they do. So it's just a chaotic fight, and basically, if you don't, like, we wiped on that, I think close to 100 times now in Heroic, so we were glad that BlackRock Foundry came out, so we could move on to something else. Like, we'll go back. It's just,
it's just one of those things. Not wanting to brag or anything, but we haven't wiped on Imperator yet.
Yep. I guess
Not even once have we wiped on him. That's right.
Better than
that's mid-winter. Right. All right, let's get rolling here. The single target.
Yeah, sorry.
What are we doing for single target? Blood Death Knight tanking.
The good thing is single target and AoE is pretty much the exact same thing. So I'm going to cover both of them at once to save time.
Sweet.
The difference between single target and AoE is you drop Death and Decay and you Blood Boil spam more when there's more targets. So basically, single target is you want to put your diseases on target. Apply them without break, refresh them with Blood Boil. In case you're picking up Plague Leech, you can take them off and put them back on without break. Just don't let them fall. If you have Plague Bearer, using Death Coil will refresh them for you. So you can set it and forget it. So for runes, the biggest thing you want to do is for Frost and Unholy and Death Runes, you always want to Death Strike. Death Strike's your main ability that you always want to be using. You want to use it on a 5-stack. If you can, 5 stacks of Scent of Blood, you'll watch it stack up to a 5, then you use it. If you need to use it, use it. Don't wait, because it's better to use an ability and live than die with that ability up. The next big thing is Blood Runes, Blood Boil. Super easy. But you don't really want to use your Blood Boil unless if it procs. So Crimson Scourge will proc. Use it for Blood Boil, not Death and Decay. It's just easier. Once the boss drops below 35% health, Soul Reaper. It's pretty nice. The way that Soul Reaper works is you hit the target for a certain amount of damage, then 3 seconds later, it procs for a whole bunch more damage, as long as the target doesn't die. The next big thing is Ring of Power.
That haste buff off of it, or is that?
You can, like, if you use it on trash, you'll get the little, I think it's haste still. Like, for bosses, the biggest thing is, like, it's not going to die, so you're never going to see the buff.
Yeah, I guess during the course of a fight, you won't be getting that.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's R execute, but it's weird because it executes. But Soul Reaper can multi-strike. So it's good.
Oh, that's nice.
So The other thing is runic power is always death coil. Use that for threat and your runic power dump. So death coil is huge. I know I love death coil now. I didn't in the beginning. Death coil replaced
rune strike.
Rune strike. But now you can use death coil at ranged. Uh-huh. So if an ad's running away from you and you don't have taunt or
just cap it. Grip,
just pop it. Yep.
Yeah.
Chuck it at his head. So
yeah, I honestly, man, I'm not gonna lie, I miss Heart Strike. I miss Rune Strike. It still feels very weird to me.
Yeah, like I don't play with game sounds. Part of the reason I don't play with game sounds is listening to Blood Boil spam.
Uh-huh.
It's fun.
Yeah. Now more than ever, huh?
Yeah, because like the other day I linked on Twitter, I linked a picture from our Beast Lord kill, mm-hmm. and Blood Boil was my number one spell used.
Oh my gosh.
A ton of ads. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I think I used it 100% of the time on that fight. Like every time I could, I used it.
Yeah.
So, but we'll move on to cooldowns. Cooldowns is ridiculously long for Death Knights,
mm-hmm.
but it's super easy. Rune Tap. 40% damage reduction for 3 seconds. It's got 2 charges. It'll recharge after 30 seconds. This is nice if you're going to get a big attack coming in. Pop it. 40% less damage taken. It's beautiful. Just have to have a blood rune, which you don't always have. Anti-magic shell. It prevents you from taking magic damage. Up to 75%. What's cool about it, though, is it will make you immune to most things. So Imperator, for example, when he does his Nova, you mm-hmm. can just run through it with your anti-magic shell and not take any damage or the knockback. It's kind of nice. You can avoid taking debuffs with it. That's what I use it for. Icebound Fortitude, 20% less damage taken. It's kind of nice. Dancing Rune Weapon. It is a defensive ability, but I use it offensively. It gives you a 20% chance to parry. Yep. If you use the rune, if you use the glyph, it will reduce your threat. But when you're, depending on when you use it in the fight, you probably don't need threat at that point. Army of the Dead. This one is not as cool as it used to be.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's
but
sad.
I use it to taunt adds.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you should never use the minor glyph to taunt adds or to not taunt. Mm-hmm. Unless if you're DPS. If you're a tank, you should never use it. Challenge modes, it'll tank a boss for you, and the boss will die without doing any damage to the tank. Same thing with the inside Beast Lord and also Thorgar. The adds don't touch the tanks because they're too busy beating on the Army of the Dead. The next one that you need to keep up 1 bazillion times... all the time. Bone shield should always be up. Reduces 20% of your damage that's coming in. It's got 8 charges. It literally goes away after 8. This is one of the things you should track. It's a huge spell to always have.
I was going to say, I have a quick question about that then.
Yeah.
I had this bright idea a long time ago to macro bone shield to death strike for maximum uptime. Is that not a good idea, an okay idea, or is this something that you should be managing a little more? Should you have a weak aura or some sort of tell me when? Or
I use a tell me when to tell me when it's not up. Now that it's a 60-second cooldown,
mm-hmm.
so you can't refresh it whenever you want, so you are going to have to wait the 60 seconds, and it's usually gone in 60 seconds. So, so it's kind of a pain. So I started using Tell Me When mm-hmm. just for Bone Shield.
Okay, so if it's a 60-second cooldown and you want it to be up as much as possible, then why not macro it?
Because say if you're off tanking, uh-huh. you're not taking any damage.
Well, you don't want to put still, it up. It's still mitigation though.
But if you're taking like AoE damage from a boss or from an ad, I would rather have 20% less damage from the boss than 20% less damage from an ad.
So you do want to manage it a little bit.
Yep. So say like on Butcher,
mm-hmm.
I don't use it when I'm not tanking Butcher. Yeah. But as soon as Butcher, like, as soon as I'm about to take Butcher back, I pop it and then tank Butcher for 8 strikes and then it's gone.
I suppose, like, even like Bracken Spore, when you have the necrotic breath or whatever it is.
Yep. So, yeah. Like, if you're on, say you're tanking Ad and Bracken Spore, that doesn't, well, he hits harder later on, the longer he's up. Let's say in the beginning you're tanking him, you don't necessarily need to use it when he's doing little piddly damage, whereas the boss is going to do more damage. So 20% more on the boss versus 20% on an Ad is huge.
Bracken Spore has taught me a lot about cooldown management.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Just that fight alone, man. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I can't just use this mitigation on cooldown. I have to wait until this happens and then use it.
A huge boss, like, we're only 4 of 10 Blackrock.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I'm super experienced in there. But Orgorger is the same way. You can't use more than one defensive mitigation at one time, because you won't have enough up to mitigate all of his spells. The way he works is he launches an acid torrent at the ranged group, and the tank has to intercept it, so it does less damage. So the more damage the tank mitigates, using Bone Shield, Rune Tap, all that stuff, it hits the tank, and then it does less damage to the range. So you have to watch this. So it's all about cooldown management to make sure your mitigation is high. So they're making active mitigation more active than passive.
Well, not only that, but they're like, you can't just, okay, I have to keep my mitigation up. You actually have to save your mitigation for very specific moments.
Yep. Oh yeah. And that's the same thing with like advanced death knight tanking, using your death strikes at the right times.
Uh-huh.
Death strikes just that heals you and also puts a bubble around you. If you're not tanking the boss, you can ramp up that bubble.
Uh-huh.
So it's not uncommon for me to get it up to 200k when I'm off tanking, because I'm not taking damage. So if you time it right, as long as it doesn't fall off, you can always refresh and add to it. So it's huge.
Do you track that?
I do. I use Blood Shield Tracker. I watch it for my incoming heals and also just to track to see if I have a shield up. I track it in 2 different places, actually. I used to tell me when to make sure that it's up, and then I track the size of the Blood Shield based on...
Does it still do the stacks? Like 5 stacks or whatever?
Yep. So yeah. Your Scent of Blood stacks to 5, and then it does ridiculous amounts of more of healing if you use it on 5 than it does on 1 or 3.
What's your, just, I know we're trying to get through this, we're actually running a lot longer than I thought, but it's good info. So what's your take on the, you know, stacking it up to 5? Or, I mean, when you're in the middle of that fight and you're just getting hit in the face, I'm not going, well, I can wait until I get this up to 5. I'm going, holy crap, death strike.
If you're using Rune Tap and Blood Tap, the 2 other things that you can use, you can control when you death strike. So you can make a 3 death strike into a 5. The reason I say that is you're using abilities to proc your Scent of Blood that gives you 5 stacks and you 5 death strike.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is, death strike on 1 if you need it. If you're going to heal yourself up, say you're at 25% health and you have no cooldowns and your healers are boom, death strike on 1. Say you're at 75% health and your healers are all full mana, maybe you can push it to 3 instead of 1.
Sit on it for a minute, yeah.
Yeah. Like, the biggest thing is as a death knight, you do have to remember that you have healers that can fill you back up quicker than you can. But you also have to remember your job is to not take damage. So if you're Rune Tap, 40% less damage. Bone Shield's up, 20% less damage. That's 60% less damage.
Yeah.
Plus your normal mitigation of armor, all that stuff, now you're up to 100% already just from 3 abilities. So
what's even more awesome is that I just scrolled down here in the notes and saw that you have this whole thing about Death Strike timing.
Yep. All right, well.
Awesome.
Are we ready for that? Advanced tips?
That's what we've been talking
about. Let's do it. All right, let's
basically get going. What we just talked about. So, yeah, we don't even need to talk about it.
All right, then.
Absorb. Yeah. That is your. It's just timing it out, making sure you do it at the right time, either one or five. Five, obviously, if you're going to be getting hit by a big spell. Five on Butcher in Heimdall. Use five if you can when you're off-tanking, because then you're ramping up a shield. Maybe then you're using one or two or three just to get it back, because he hits like a truck. So, but that's where Tell Me When, huge add-on to use. I love it. And also Blood Shield Tracker, two huge add-ons. Those are the biggest add-ons besides your obvious, like, deadly boss mods and all that other stuff.
I think I did a Google search and found some really cool weak auras and just imported those strings, and I liked the way they looked, so.
Yeah. Tell Me When is super nice because it literally can take any ability in the entire game and tell it and turn it into a Tell Me When. For example, we had an incident where we switched from normal to heroic, and we zoned out and switched, and for some reason Master Looter got switched to off, and the boss died, and all the loot popped up, and we used a looting system, and I was yelling pass, while somebody hit disenchant on all of it.
Oh my gosh.
And because it's done through Blizzard's loot system, they will not give you that gear for disenchanting it, because somebody clicked disenchant. So... And because we use a loot system, I can't tell them who to give the gear to because I don't know who would have won it. So, yeah. Good times. So, we actually have a tell me when to tell me when Loot Master's not set.
That's hilarious.
And it's between the three tanks in the raid team because we have a tank that heals also. So, all three of us, if one of us three does not have Loot Master, it automatically starts beeping and flashing at us to tell us that we don't.
Nice.
So...
Yeah, I won't get into our loot disparity. But.
Yeah. I totally agree with you, man. It sucks because, like, there's no options. That's the problem. Like, you don't have four bosses dropping bracers. You have one boss dropping bracers.
You have... Or I've won the same stupid gloves, like, four times, and I'm still wearing blues because I can't.
Switch it to Master Looter.
That's been the consensus. You know, I had a little rant again via social media about the only being able to equip three crafted pieces, and most people, I would say 90% of people agreed with me. A couple people didn't at all, but yeah, we're hearing a lot of people say just, you know, we can go back to our loot system that we were using before, because I guess personal loot in raids is really not working out for a lot of people.
Personal loot is great for pugs, because then you can't get ninjas. But it sucks for raids because or raid teams that don't have loot drama, because then you're gonna get say you have a rogue too. You get the same pair of gloves six times, but the rogue hasn't gotten them yet. Period.
We do have a rogue. But if you
would have gotten them to drop, the rogue would have gotten the gloves. So I thought...
No, actually, yeah, dude. And then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, hey, I'm gonna roll this leather-wearing tune because that's what Rob needs, so that's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
But whatever. That's... I need to stop.
Yes. All right. Okay, changes in 6.1. What are your thoughts on those, or what are they?
Butthurt.
Basically, they're going to make it so Breath of Syndragosa doesn't have an initial cost, which is even more baller. It's going to cost no runic power to use, so 15 runic power more to keep that duration up even longer. Thumbs up to them. Death Siphon increases the heal to 400%, up from 335%. Really, it's not going to make a difference. It sounds really cool on paper, but doesn't look really cool on paper at the same time. Necrotic Plague. This is the one that's going to be kind of interesting. It's having its damage increased by 37%. That could be good. We're going to see how it plays out. On the PTR, it doesn't seem to be playing out because the changes to Breath of Syndergosa makes it even more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on the type of fight. And awesome. By the way, they nerfed Blood Boil a long time ago. It just showed up in the patch notes. So everyone's freaking out that Blood Boil got nerfed, but it got nerfed like 3 months ago.
Yeah, wasn't that the... Yeah, because I think I tweeted at you about that. And you
yeah,
were like,
a bunch of people did.
grumble.
Yeah. But the thing is like it was just the tooltip change. They finally were updating it. Because like Wowhead is still wrong. But on PT, or in-game, if you look at the tooltip in-game, it's correct. So I'm not worried about it.
All right.
But that's it for 6-1.
Cool. I see you have a macro here. Couple
mythic hot fixes that happened today.
What did they do?
Right in the middle of Race for World First.
Hey, I'm okay with it. Slow them down. but yeah, two macros. Big macro that I love is Raise Ally. It's a Raise Your Dead. It's your battle res. You can do a mouse over macro. Thanks to you guys, I know what a mouse over macro is. A long time ago, you guys had Olivia Grace on to talk about PvP, and she taught me all about the mouse over for my paladin. She answered my question, and ever since then, I've been using mouse overs anywhere I can.
Nice.
So,
gosh, dude, I know when I first started raiding with Hoof and back in the day, I needed a healer, and at the time I was an awful rep pally and knew nothing about heals, and was like, sure, why not? And I won a whole crap ton of gear because who wears int plate? So I got all the gear, and I mean, these guys sat me down and showed me the fundamentals, and it was like, dude, it was game changer. Dude, mouse over macros are like freaking amazing.
Yeah, for the longest time as a healer, I played healer throughout all of Classic and into Burning Crusade. I was a healer, and into most of ICC, I was still a healer. I never used mouse over macros. I clicked and healed, clicked and healed, clicked and healed. So, wow, I was missing out on a super easy way of healing people.
Yeah.
Where were you guys back then, huh?
We were... But doing a twinkle stuff. In your mother's eye.
Oh, really? Nice. But my other macro is... Keep it going. My other macro is just a blood tap macro. Basically, just makes it so you can double pop your blood taps. So...
Oh, nice.
It just makes... So if you have 10, it'll just use both of them at once. Because there's no global cooldown on them.
Awesome.
So,
make sure he doesn't get capped. Yeah.
Very cool.
That's basically Blood Death Knight in 6 hours and 45 minutes or less.
Yeah, because you started putting your stuff together this afternoon, huh?
Well, the problem was I was like, okay, I'm going to go refresh, and I pulled up my episode of Knights of Ebon, and I looked at it, and I was like, wow, all of this stuff is now outdated. So I'm going to go research again and learn how to play again, and... I went and practiced, and it all worked, and it was really nice. Good. I liked it.
Cool. All right, well, we have one question here from Sunshine Gold on Twitter. She says, what changes in the rotation when you switch from a two-hand to two one-hand weapons?
No, I thought it was from a two-hand. Oh, is that really?
Yeah, a two-hand weapon.
I think they're talking from going from two-hand frost to dual-wield frost.
Oh, okay. I thought it was somebody being silly and saying, how does it change when you go from a two-hand to a two-hand?
Oh, okay.
Biggest thing is you're going to have stat changes, like ridiculous stat changes, when it comes to switching. I'm trying to see if I can find the exact stats. Probably can't, because nobody likes to make it easy. Biggest thing is I'm trying to think if... I think for two-hand, you use Obliterate, and for dual-wield, you use Frost Strike for your procs, your Killing Machine procs.
Oh my gosh, man. I miss Kata Frost. Man, that was my favorite ever.
Cataphrost is nice in PvP. I loved it. I still play the same style. I'm really a huge fan of fast play style, like DKs.
Uh-huh.
Hence why I play tons of haste. I love now that they implemented the you kind of control the global cooldown versus the game controlling the global cooldown.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's everything's quicker. Because in PvP, if you're on your game as a Frost DK, dual wield Frost DK, you can completely annihilate the complete other team. And you heal more as a Frost DK in PvP now than you do a Blood DK.
Sorry, a cheese.
So, it's good times.
Nice. But,
yeah.
Well, all right.
So are we done with Death Knights then? We're all good? Blood Death Knights?
We're not done.
Well, first of all, Hend, we got to know, did you learn anything tonight?
Dude, he's the one that brought up the Dancing Rune weapon.
I learned I'm probably not going to level my Death Knight again. Anymore.
He brought up Dancing Rune weapon because he was stalking someone's armory.
No, I wasn't. I was asking a question, an informed question. As a podcast host, that is my job.
I respect that.
All right. Okay, well, if we're done with the Death Knight section of the podcast, Rob and I have come up with a new feature that we're going to try and do for the next few weeks here anyway. We have an important public service announcement. So we shall play that now.
We at the Training Dummies would like to take a moment to talk about an important issue that has swept across Azeroth faster than the Scourge invasion. It's a condition that is preventing progression and destroying momentum within raid teams across the globe. It's called Transmogrification, Transmogrification, Transmogrimar. It's called Transmog Anxiety, and the threat is real.
I had new shoulders drop off of the butcher, which were significant upgrades, but they did not match my outfit at all. Everyone knows you don't wear slaughterhouse balders with the robe of the Great Beyond. Naturally, I demanded someone get out the transmog mount, or I wasn't going anywhere. I even threatened to hearth it to Warspear, knowing no one could easily summon me back since I was the only warlock in the group. It wasn't long before someone brought out that transmog mount and we were able to continue.
Does this sound like you? We understand the importance of putting together just the right outfit. We understand the hours of farming and gold spent that it took you to match that belt with those boots. If you find yourself holding up the raid just so that you can transmog your latest piece of loot, you too may suffer from transmog anxiety.
I love seeing my raid mates getting new gear, except the warlock. He always creates a scene and refuses to continue unless somebody gets out their transmog mount for him. Just last week he got new shoulders from the butcher and even threatened to hearth back to Warspear. I knew we couldn't just boot him from the raid because Brackenspore was next, and he's one of the only two who know how to work the flamethrowers. He had us in a bind and he knew it. I think he's just a prima donna.
Do you find yourself saying these things about your raid members? If so, you may have a victim of transmog anxiety on your team. While it might seem silly to you, raiders who suffer from this affliction may not be able to function properly during raids if not looking their best. If even one piece of gear is not transmogrified correctly, transmog anxiety victims will fixate on their ridiculous shoulders, mismatched belt, or gaudy robes, and will not be able to focus on the task at hand, killing those raid bosses. Having even one raid member lose focus will hurt your entire team. If you or a loved one suffers from transmog anxiety, please, for the love of the loon, pull out that transmog mount, get yourself together, and go kill some bosses. It's important to remember that while you are raiding, it is completely acceptable to mock and ridicule your team members that suffer from transmog anxiety. We all know they certainly deserve it.
Oh, that was awesome. I love it.
The more you know.
Exactly.
Oh, that was good.
So we're hoping to do a few more of those too. We have some ideas. We just need to write them. But anyway, let's carry on with this. All right, hen love. I need to send some hen love to my wife. Of course, she is the other voice on that public service announcement, and I think she did a fantastic job on that. So lots of hen love for her, and as well some hen love for our guildies, the Horderlies on the Deathwing server, and I have some hen love for Catalyst Gaming Media and. What is it? The D20 Creative Alliance, which we are now a part of. And of course, for Epic, for coming on the show this evening and talking all about Death Knights for us. Rob, what do you got?
Thanks for
having me. Oh, no problem. Thanks for coming on such short notice, actually. you got us out of a bind.
I definitely appreciate it. You guys probably saw earlier, we did reschedule the Ask Mr. Robot spot that we had for, it was supposed to be yesterday, we rescheduled that, and Epic was kind enough to jump in and totally hook us up with this episode, which was great timing, and great content, which also leads us into a series of Meat Shield episodes. So we're gonna hit a bunch of tanking episodes over the next couple of weeks. If you don't like them, that's too bad, because they're gonna be good. So
tanks are people too.
Yep, they are. Tanks have feelings too. Hey, we may have stumbled onto another PSA, but all right, well, definitely thank you, Epic, thank you guys in the chat room for showing up. It's awesome. And yeah, Epic, how about you? What do you got?
Well, I would just like to thank both of you for thinking of me when you needed somebody to talk for 7 hours about Blood Death Knights.
I don't know. You said you hadn't heard the most recent Anne episode.
Yeah, like,
we're not even close to that yet. So.
No,
lore scares me. So that episode scares me even more.
No, dude.
I'm going to be like sitting there jotting notes down and drawing timelines the whole time.
Dude, I did not spare any dumb question that I had, so.
Yeah, I don't get lore. Like, it's not for me. But I guess I will thank my guild, Relentless Aggression on Zul'jin, for putting up with me and having an amazing discussion about trains this week. There was probably 800 puns to do with trains while we worked on the train boss. And also, huge thank you to Kilroy, my co-host, or my other host, or my bro host with the most on Frozen Nerds, for putting up with me, too. He's got a lot to deal with.
All right, well, before we wrap this up, Epic, can you let everyone know where they can reach you, follow you, like you, or how they can send hand love to you?
The best way to get a hold of me ever is on Twitter. It's epic_insanity. You can follow both of the podcasts that I do at Frozen Nerds. It's 1N2Zs. Otherwise, you can hit me up on my Death Knight podcast at Knights of Ebon on the Twitter. You can find everything I do going on in my entire life pretty much over on frozennerds.com. Once again, 1N2Zs. You can get a hold of me via email at icebox@frozennerds.com.
Sweet. I would say that wraps up episode number 82 of the Training Dummies. You can find the show over on iTunes and Stitcher, so please consider giving us a review, good, bad, or otherwise. You can follow our Twitter, and we will make sure to keep you updated and informed on all of the things. That can be found at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland. Hind is at Hind_Horderlies. And Kim is Kim with the Y, Scally.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!